I'd like you to turn with me, please, this evening to the Gospel of Matthew. Turning to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15. As the Reverend McRae has indicated, that's the theme of our week of meetings, down at the feet of Jesus. This morning we looked at an individual who came to the feet of Christ and expressed her love for the Savior in a most wonderful way. Tonight I want to look at a number of people who were found at the feet of Christ. And it would be, and it has been, my earnest prayer that even some here tonight will join these individuals and be found this evening at the feet of Christ. Matthew chapter 15. We'll commence our reading at verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she saith, Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. And Jesus departed from thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee and went up into a mountain and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them, insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Amen. We end our reading there at verse 31. The earnest prayer that the Lord will bless and use the word tonight to speak to all of our hearts. Before we consider the Lord's word, let us just unite once again in prayer. Our dear loving and gracious Father, we bow in thy holy presence tonight and we thank thee afresh for thy Son. We thank thee, Lord, for the one who is the great physician. Yea, is there a balm in Gilead? Is there a physician there? And we can answer in the affirmative. We bless thee, Lord, for the one who is able to heal and transform and change lives. We pray, our God, that that will take place in this meeting house tonight. We pray, Lord, that someone or some individuals this night will be found with this multitude down at the feet of Jesus. For we know, Lord, that as he healed those in that multitude, he'll heal sin-sick souls tonight. Lord, I ask thee again for the help and the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, grant to me that power that I might preach the word in all sincerity and from my heart. And in so doing, Lord, help us to preach Christ. Speak well of his finished work and of his precious shed blood. In the Savior's holy and precious name, I ask all these things. Amen. Matthew chapter 15. And our text for this evening is at verse 30. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. When we consider the feet of Christ, they have so much to teach us about the person of the Savior. Not only in the New Testament, but the feet of Christ are referred to in the Old Testament scriptures also. We look at the first mention of the feet of Christ, and they speak to us of his servitude. For we read in Genesis chapter 18 of that day that three angels came to Abraham, but one of those angels was the angel of the covenant, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we read there in the opening verse of Genesis 18, and the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. And this is how he addressed one of them. He said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet. The one whom Abraham was addressing was none other than the Son of God. Look there at how the chapter begins. And the Lord appeared unto him. Notice the word Lord is capitalized, referring to Jehovah. Christ, we know, is Jehovah. Before Abraham was, I am, he said. He's Jehovah. And it was Abraham's desire to wash the feet of Jehovah, wash the feet of Christ. Notice in the verse 3, he said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. And he wanted to wash the feet. The word Lord there that we have in the verse 3 is the Hebrew name for the Lord Adonai. Adonai means to judge, to rule. God is the almighty ruler. Everything is subject unto him. So why did the Lord come to Abraham? He came to Abraham to tell him that his wife Sarah, after the many years of praying, Sarah was going to have a son. And so this reference to Christ and the feet of Christ referred to his servitude, the service that he rendered unto Abraham. And that is so typical of the Lord Jesus. Because Acts 10 and verse 38, we're told that the Lord Jesus went about doing good. There was his service. He went about doing good, and all the countless numbers of individuals who experienced in their lives the goodness of Christ. So there we have his feet referred to in Genesis 18. The feet of Christ is referred to in Nahum chapter 1 verse 3, where we read the clouds are the dust of his feet. And if Genesis 18 speak to us of his servitude, Nahum 1 and verse 3 speak to us of his sovereignty. Praise the Lord, he is the sovereign God. There is none like him and none beside him. And the day is coming when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he indeed is the sovereign Lord. As well as the feet of Christ in the Old Testament speaking to us of his servitude and his sovereignty, the next reference is in Zechariah 14 and verse 4. His feet shall stand that day on the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem. That day is coming. And he'll stand on the Mount of Olives. And he'll stand there in all his power and all his supremacy. That's where the feet of the Supreme Christ will stand. On the Mount of Olives when he returns. But then when we go to the book of Psalms, the feet of Christ are mentioned again. This time in Psalm 22, verse 16, that great messianic psalm, the psalm that C.H. Spurgeon said, when we come to read Psalm 22, we should do what Moses did when he stood before the burning bush. When we come to read and study Psalm 22, we should put the shoes from off our feet, for we're standing on holy ground. As we know, the psalm begins, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the words of David are really the words of Christ. In Psalm 22, verse 16, he says, they pierced my hands and my feet. And there the reference refers to the sufferings of Christ. So we have seen something of what the feet of Christ speak to us of in the Old Testament. And over the next few evenings, Lord willing, I want us to learn from the references to Christ and his feet in the New Testament, and particularly the Gospels, although not confined to the Gospels. And may this study lead us to fall at the feet of Christ. To fall there in praise and adoration and worship. And like the woman we looked at this morning, fall at his feet and take those feet in her hands and kiss them and kiss them and kiss them again and tell the Lord, Lord Jesus, I love thee. I love thee with all my heart. After all, as we've been singing already this day, it was down at the feet of Jesus. Oh, the happy, happy day that my soul found peace in believing and my sins, praise the Lord, were washed away. So may those feet become even more familiar to us as we join those who were found there down at the feet of Christ. And here in this verse that we have read this evening, verse 30, and great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame and blind and dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. As we look at these words, I want us first of all to consider the Master on the mountain. You know, the wonderful thing about the Lord Jesus, distance meant nothing to the Savior. For he was about his Father's business. And wherever his Father's business took him, he went willingly, covering many miles to do good. And this is highlighted for us when we consider how the Lord went from Galilee to the coasts of Tyre and Sidon that we have just read this evening, to the coasts of Tyre and Sidon to help a woman of Canaan whose daughter had gone astray and had been taken by a devil. Galilee to the coasts of Tyre and Sidon is about 60 to 70 miles. After dealing with that woman and healing her daughter, he turned around and he came back to Galilee, a round trip of between 120 and 140 miles. And that's the distance he traveled for the sake of one person. Going to the coast of Tyre and Sidon to meet the need of that woman and her daughter. He returned to Galilee after meeting the need of a mother. Returning to Galilee to meet the needs of a multitude. Let us first of all think about his pathway. The feet of Christ took him all of those miles that he might minister to the needy. Each step he took was a step of love. Every mile he covered speaks to us of his mercy. But you know something? Greatest journey the Lord Jesus ever took brought him from heaven's glory down the long ladder of humiliation to this world. In heaven he was the song of angels, and he came into this world to be the song of drunkards, leaving glory to come to Golgotha. That speaks to us of his grace. Because that's why he came to this sin-cursed world. Luke 4, 18 tells us to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. The feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, the great physician, will take him to wherever he is needed. And that's why he's here tonight. He is. The Lord Jesus is here tonight because there are those in this meeting tonight who need him. That's why he's here. He's here to meet you at your need, the point of your need. That's why he has come. Wherever the poor are, he's there to make them rich in himself. Wherever the brokenhearted are, he's there to heal the brokenhearted. Wherever the captives are, he's there to set them free. Wherever the blind are, he's there to give them sight. Wherever the bruised are, he's there to give them healing. We often read about what the Lord did for individuals, but very few occasions do we read about the reaction to the healing touch of the Master. And this was brought into view in my own mind a few months ago when I saw a video of a woman who was born deaf. She would have been a lady in about her mid-30s. And the camera focuses on her. And she's sitting in a little room. And she has a hearing device attached to the back of her head. It wasn't just a hearing aid. It was attached to the back of her head near one of her ears. And there she was sitting, and the nurse was sitting beside her. And this nurse activated this hearing device. And that woman heard for the first time in her life. And you know what she did? She hid her face in her hands and wept and wept and wept like a child. And I thought to myself, what about all those people the Lord healed? What about all those people who were born blind and Christ gave them their sight? Or all those individuals who were born deaf and the Lord gave them hearing? My, what tears must have flowed from those eyes, and what happiness must have filled their hearts. And what must have it have been like that day the Master was on the mountain, when the great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame and blind and dumb and maimed and many others, and he cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them, every one of them. Can you imagine what it was like for those people going back home again, back down the mountain? I can hear. I can see. I can walk. Do you know something? My friend, you can know that same happiness tonight. Your heart can be filled with that same joy this evening. If you join this multitude of people and come down the feet of Jesus, and he'll heal your sin-sick soul, and you'll have joy unspeakable and full of glory. You think you've got joy in the world? Devil's filling you. He's filling you. You need joy and you want happiness and peace of mind and peace of heart and peace of conscience. Tonight, you need to come to Christ. You need to be found down at his feet. We notice here in these words not only his pathway, but his place. We read that upon his return from the coast of Tyre and Sidon that he went up into a mountain. The dear Savior was fond of going up into mountains. Matthew 14, verse 23, Matthew 17, verse 1, we're told he went up into a mountain to pray. Matthew 5, verse 1, his feet also took him up into a mountain to preach. His feet also took him up into a mountain which by faith many have visited. It is the mount called Calvary. Why did he go to that mountain? He went to that mountain to purchase salvation for sinners. To purchase salvation for sinners just like you. That's where they pierced his hands and his feet. And those feet took him where the lame and the blind and the dumb and the maimed and the many others were found. Down at his feet. And the feet that climbed that mountain at Galilee to rescue the sick. Those same feet have climbed another mountain. A mount called Calvary to rescue sinners. Up Calvary's mountain one dreadful morn, walked Christ my Savior weary and worn, facing for sinners death on the cross, that he might save them from endless loss. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see him on Calvary's tree. Do you see him there? Do you see him there with pierced hands and pierced feet? Dying for sinners just like you. We notice his posture. We're told that the dear Savior went up into a mountain and then we're told he sat down. Verse 29. When the Savior went up, then he sat down. And the afflicted who came to him and were brought to him, they were cast down at his feet. So you get the picture. Savior has walked up that mountain. He's got to a certain place and sat down, and the multitudes came and the crowds came, and the lame and the halt and the blind and the maimed and the dumb and many others took their place down at the feet of the Savior. The Lord sat down. Something very significant about that. Here's the Savior, the Lord of glory, and he comes all the way from heaven. And he comes into this earth. And then he comes even lower. He sits down. And he comes down to the level of all those who lay at his feet that day. He came down to their level. Wasn't that one of the criticisms of the Pharisees? He sat and he ate with the Pharisees and the publicans. And the old Pharisee said, he's a friend of publicans and sinners. Well, I can say tonight, hallelujah. I'm glad he's a friend of publicans and sinners. For if the Savior wasn't a friend of publicans and sinners, where would I be tonight? Possibly in that place where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. But Jesus came and he came right down and he came down to my level. He came right down to where I was. So that the night that I came to Christ, I did not feel intimidated in any way. He came down to our level, to my level, to their level. That teaches us he's accessible. He's approachable. Do you hear that? He's approachable. Yes, he's the King of glory. He's the God of heaven. He's the maker of heaven and earth. But he has come down to your level so that you may approach him. No one here should feel that with all their worries and all their woes and all their wickedness that they cannot approach Christ. Because you can. Because he's the welcoming Christ. And speaking as one who knows, he's a wonderful Christ. And he's here tonight. And he's sitting here amongst us, down at your level. And sir, there you are. You can come now to his feet, just where he is. He's the master on the mountain. Then we see the master in the multitude. We are told that when the Savior went up into a mountain and sat down there, that great multitudes came unto him. Here we are shown the attraction. What was the attraction of the multitude? It says that great multitudes came unto him. He's the attraction. So what was it that attracted them? First of all, it was the person of Christ. That's what is written. They came unto him. No one else. No one else. They came unto him. The disciples were there, but they came unto him. There in that mountain was the person they believed who could heal them. The blind man believed the Lord could give him his sight. The dumb believed the Lord could help him and give him his speech. The brokenhearted believed the Lord could mend that broken heart. They were there. That's why they came unto him. The lame believed they could heal them. The blind believed it. The dumb believed it. The maimed believed it. And many others believed it. Now the next question is, my friend, do you believe it? Do you believe Christ can save you? Do you believe the Lord Jesus Christ who is here tonight in this meeting? Is able to save your soul. Well, he's here. You say, well, I may not be dumb or blind, physically speaking, or maimed. But another group's mentioned there, many others. You could include yourself in that, couldn't you? You're just one of the many others. And the many others came to the feet of the Lord with all their diseases and all their disabilities and all their distresses. They came to the feet of Christ. And whatever your sin is, whatever your iniquities are, whatever are your transgressions, you tonight can come to the Lord. And I'll tell you something, He'll welcome you with open arms. What do you think of that? Maybe you're thinking tonight, well, now, if people knew anything about my sin, they wouldn't want to know me. If my friends, my neighbors, my family knew what I did, they would disown me. Well, there's one person who will not do any of those things. His name is Jesus Christ. And I don't care what you've done, or where you've been, or how you've lived, or how deep into sin you have been. There's room for you at the feet of Christ. There is. They came on to Him. After all, what has He said? He has said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's not going to say, come and then turn you away. You know something? The Lord Jesus Christ has never turned anybody away. Isn't that something? And all the souls who have come to Him and been drawn to Him and been attracted to Him, He has never turned one of them away. There have been some deep-dyed sinners come to Christ. He has welcomed them home. As well as His person, you have His presence. That is, the Lord was right there where they were. The multitude didn't have to go to the borders of Tyre and Sidon to find Him. He came to them. They were there in His presence. At His feet. They could not have been any closer to Him. They were at His feet. And indeed, all who were in His presence that day proved the truth of those words. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. As we've already made reference, what joy must have filled the hearts of every one of those when the Lord Jesus, we're told, healed them. And they discovered that in the Lord's presence there was fullness of joy. And you can know that joy tonight. They were afflicted with various ailments. Yet there they were in the presence of the healer. It was the obvious thing to do, wasn't it? It was the obvious thing to do was to come to the feet of Christ and trust Him for healing. And here you are, my friend, tonight in the Lord's presence. The Lord is here. It's the obvious thing to do, is it not? You're right here. No, you don't have to go on a pilgrimage. You don't have to pay any money. You don't have to go home and get all tidied up and clean up your life, first of all, no. The Lord will take care of that, and I'll tell you, somebody will do a better job. No, he's here. You're in his presence tonight. Why would you go away then? If you're dying in your sin, and Christ is here to save you from dying in your sin, why would you go away? Surely it's the obvious thing to do, is to come now to his blessed feet to be saved. There's a person in the presence, then there's the prospect. The afflicted were attracted to Christ by the prospect of receiving healing from him. Quite a prospect, wasn't it? The prospect of having their life changed, their bodies mended, their eyes opened, their tongues loosed, and whatever other maladies they had, they were brought to Christ and cast down at his feet. Because of the prospect of healing, of health, of hope, of happiness. After all, he has said, "Behold, I make all things new." And you can have a new life tonight. You can, I tell you, I guarantee tonight you receive the Lord Jesus Christ this evening as your Savior and you come to his feet. I'll tell you something. From this moment on, you'll just start living. You haven't been living up to now. And I guarantee you'll say, "Preacher, I wish I had a got saved years ago. I wish I had a come to the feet of Christ years ago. I wish that. Wasn't saved until my mid-20s. I wish that I got saved as a child. That my home didn't know anything about the gospel or about Christ. Until on the 5th of May, 1969, at about 9:31 Monday evening in Tandragee Free Presbyterian Church, a wee man called Tommy Ryans led me to Christ. Psalm 34, verse 6, "This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles." And you can know that too. There's the prospect even tonight. That prospect is as real today as it was that day on the mountain. For if you come today and fall at his feet and seeking the healing of your sin-sick soul, he will make all things new in your life. You'll have a better life. You'll have a better home. You'll have a better outlook. You'll have happiness that you didn't have before. I don't care what you did. I don't care. What joy or happiness the world has given to you, it's nothing. It's dross compared to the happiness that Christ gives. As well as the attraction, you have the assistance. We notice that those who were found at the feet of Christ that day, some of them could not have made it up that mountain alone. Look at the wording. "And a great multitude came unto him, having with them." Those that were lame, well, they couldn't climb a mountain. The blind, they couldn't climb a mountain. The dumb, perhaps. The maimed, no. And many others. And so there were those in that multitude who assisted the others to get up that mountain. And I have no doubt there were those there in that multitude who had to be carried up the mountain. The lame and the maimed. Well, that was some burden, wasn't it? It was quite a burden to carry somebody up a mountain and then to leave them down there at the Savior's feet. Those who did that were obviously burdened about their friend who they'd carried up the mountain. And I would say, and I don't know everybody here, but I would say there are those in their service tonight who have a burden for a son or a burden for a daughter or a burden for a husband or a burden for a wife. And if they could, they would carry you and carry them up Mount Calvary. And just as it would have been a heavy burden for those carrying the maimed and the halt and the blind up that mountain, I know you feel the weight of your burden every day. When I was the minister in Newton Abbey, there's a little lady there. It's called Mrs. Craig. She had a son who wasn't saved. And any time I visited Mrs. Craig and mentioned her son, tears started to flow down her cheeks. I'd only to mention his name. And that was an indication of the burden she had for her son. What do you do with such a burden? All we can do is what those on the mountain did that day. They took their burden and they cast it at Jesus. Leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. But look, let us look at the other side of the story. You're here tonight and you are the burden. And I don't know if you know it or not, son or daughter. You're breaking your mother's heart. That's what you're doing. Every time you go out on a Saturday night to a pub or a club or whatever, you're breaking your mother's heart. And I want you to know that. Would you not ease that burden that your mother has? And come tonight to the feet of Christ. You would fill that mother's heart with absolute joy tonight. Or whoever it is who's praying for you, burdened about you. Oh, what joy there be in your home tonight if you came to the Savior. As well as the attraction and the assistance we have the afflicted. What woes, what worries, what weeping would we find amongst those who lay at the Master's feet that day? What sorrows, what sickness, what suffering did those poor souls endure before they were brought to the Lord? But you have those lovely words. And having with them those that were lame and blind and dumb and maimed and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Not one. Not one did the Savior say to, "I can't do anything for you." Not one. The lame and the blind and the dumb and the maimed and many others, he healed them, every one of them. Not one soul that went up that mountain that night or that day and was left at the feet of Christ, not one of them went away disappointed. Isn't that great? Not one went away disappointed. The Lord healed every single one of them. And you tonight, come and fall at the feet of the Lord Jesus. You'll not go away disappointed. He'll receive you. He'll accept you. He'll save you. He'll make you his own. And he'll love you forever, ever and ever. And if nobody else in the world loves you, the Lord loves you. He'll be with you all the way. Great Savior. I tell you, he's a great Savior. In the last place, and very quickly, of the Master and the miracles, you have the acceptance. Even though a great multitude of people came to him that day, the Savior didn't turn one of them away, and he'll not turn you away tonight. He accepted every one of them. Not a single one was rejected. Not a single one was ignored. Not a single one was turned away. All who came and all who were at his feet, every one of them was healed. I don't care what you've done. Christ will receive you. A young woman who was confined. As you go to the Lord's house every Sabbath day, you want her to be saved, but the Lord just said, "The Lord did not accept me. Shouldn't have gotten me." And then one day the preacher was speaking to the congregation, speaking to sinners, and he said, "Listen, the Lord is here and he's ready to save. You come just as you are." And that struck a chord in her heart. And for the first time she saw it, she says, "All I have to do is come just as I am." That woman was Charlotte Elliott, who wrote the hymn, "Just as I am without one plea, but that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Come just as you are." The Lord had ability to heal all who went to the mountain that day. He has the ability to save you. Wherefore, he is able also to save to the uttermost all come unto God by him. Save to the uttermost. The word uttermost there means completely. Why, you see, Christ has done it all. Saved completely. Not half saved. You're not going to be saved and lost next year. You're saved completely. You'll be as sure of heaven as you are sitting in this seat tonight. What do you think of that? Because you see, it is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll welcome you. It is no secret. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet. And he healed them. What about it? What about it? As our brother sang tonight, there's room at the cross for you, and there's room at his feet for you too. Just as I am. Let's get to the feet of Christ.